and welcome to the Destiny Prague podcast. Our heart is to see people empowered by the love of Jesus and activated by the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe that the Word of God is still relevant today, and we trust that this message will bless you, challenge you, and fill your heart and mind with the truth of who God is and who you are in Christ. We believe that God has a plan for your life, and we want to journey a road of discipleship with you as you discover who He has called you to be. If you'd like to connect with us, check out our website at destinychurch.cz. Let's go.
My name is Dilara, and for those who don't know me, I'm one of the leaders here in Destiny Church Prague, and we're going to be continuing in the series of doing good, which is about that we are in a mission, on a mission together, and us as leaders of Destiny across the Europe, because we have multiple locations, we're just coming into agreement that our church will not be a passive church. Our church will not just be a church for Sunday service where we listen to good music, where we talk to nice people, where we have lunch after the church, right? And that's it. And we then leave our lives not changed and not shaped into the image of Christ. We love Sunday services. We love the community. That's where you grow, right? That's where you grow when you see people, like-minded people that are encouraging you by examples how they live your life, right? But the church is hands and feet of Jesus. Christians are meant to be hands and feet of Jesus, representative of Him, the bride that is purified, the bride that is waiting for the groom to come back, reaching the world with His kindness and love and impacting the culture around you. It's not just a social club. There is a calling. You did not know this, Jessica? Okay. I'm gonna pray for your salvation later. The Bible, right? It's filled with commands and calls for actions. When you read New Testaments, there is always action involved. You believe, you love Jesus. That's why you need to do this. That's why you need to shape your life in that way, right? The life of Jesus is filled with actions. Acts 10, 38 says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and He went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. If you call yourself a follower of Jesus Christ, if you're saying that He is your Lord and Savior, you gotta follow His example. How He treated people, how He loved on them, how He prayed for them, how He healed the sick. You gotta stand on the Word of God and speaking the truth, because truth sets people free. Amen? And when you understand this, when you follow the footsteps of Jesus, you actually understand God more, right? Because you're doing what is close to His heart. You're seeing Him, you're meeting Him into this mission, in the mission field. You're meeting Him when you serve, choose to serve others. He is the Lord of the harvest. You understand His pure, loving, sacrificial love, not just for you, but for others. And then you're partnering with Him in this beautiful friendships of reaching the world, of reaching people, of bringing the kingdom here on earth. Faith and work go together. I'm going to read from James 2, 14, 19. It says, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have deeds. Well, show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. That's a good passage, right? That's a good verse. It's not to make you feel good and comfortable. No, this is provoking. Faith is accompanied by works. Let's address the first thing right away. Can such faith save them? Can such faith that has no deeds save them? I started thinking about these other passages in the Bible, right? When it says you're saved by faith alone, like Matthew 7 and Romans 28, right? When you said you did this, you did that, but I haven't known you, but I did not know you. Or Romans 28, when it says you are saved by faith, not by works. And it seems like it might be contradictory, but when you look at the full picture, right? When you look at the context, when you look to whom this messages were addressed, you understand that it's complementing each other. Matthew 7 was about the false prophets. Romans 8 was written to churches where people were actually relying on their good works rather than on the finished work of the cross. And James 2 is addressing those who were thinking that the knowledge will get them saved. In James 2, in earlier verses, James was addressing the favoritism that people were showing to those who are dressed better, who have the better status in society, and they were completely neglecting the poor and needy. And James was saying, if you believe, you actually have to do something about it. Your heart should be broken for that people. A living faith is simply a real faith. If we really believe something, we will follow through and act upon it. What James is saying thing here, by faith, faith without work is dead. What it means that works are the effects and signs of the life of the faith. It's not that you need to work to have faith. No, works are effects of you believing, right? I believe, then I do something about it. I believe, then I choose to change my life. I believe, then I set myself apart. I believe, then I forgive this person. The love of Christ compels you, compels me. I love that here he was putting the example, right, of people who saying, well, you have faith and I have deeds. And he is not silent about it. He's provoking. He's telling and challenging them. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You cannot really show your faith without deeds, right? You can talk about that. You can say all the right things. You can even put some emotions and tears in your eyes to talk about this. But if you're not producing the fruits of the Spirit, that is gentleness, kindness, self-control, goodness. If you're refusing the work of the Holy Spirit inside of you, the correction that He's bringing to your life, perhaps your faith is dead. How do you live out your faith if you don't care about the well-being of people around you? Faith and work come together. And we can talk about a lot of different types of works, right? Probably the first thing that comes to mind is outreaches, right? But works can be summarized as when we look not to self, but to Jesus. When we agree with the word of God and want others to come to the same faith, to the same knowledge and same experience of who God is, to have the hope, the peace that you have experienced. This is the desire that Holy Spirit is producing. That was just an introduction to the message. I haven't yet read the main passage, but as I said, we have different locations here in Destiny Europe, three in Germany, Munich, Rosenheim, and Nuremberg. And each pastor is prepared their own sermon. So I'll be preaching from the notes from Pastor Daniel Maguire in Nuremberg. And if you know Pastor Daniel, some of you have met him, you know that he's very charismatic and cool. He's from Alabama. I don't know if it's the right accent. I'm sorry. I'm bad with that. But him and his wife are very popular in our community for using props. And I was requesting our pastors that I want to use props like nets. And they politely, as you can see, they politely declined this request. They said, I'm not cool enough to use this. So anyway, but Anyway, that was a very fun experience to preach on someone else's notes. We love Daniel. He was here before a few times, and his wife Megan was here as well. So I'm going to be preaching from his notes, and we will be talking about nets, about the passage in Luke 5:1-11. So let's go read it. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, that the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and told the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled the partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. So this is a story about fishermen, professional fishermen, right? So they knew what they were doing. They knew why they were there at night fishing and did not catch anything. Yet when Jesus stepped into the picture and on the boat, they caught the large amount of fish. And then they understood that someone is incredible, magnificent, is standing right in front of them. And he called them to follow him, right? And they left, possibly the biggest catch that they ever had. They left and started following them. A few representations here. The boat here represents the church, and nets represent talent, resources, gifts, calling, purpose. So when fishermen were using their nets during the night without Jesus, they did not catch anything, right? But Jesus at the center of the boat, and they put their trust on you. They said, "Because you say so, I will do this." And they saw something overflow, and they saw the miracle. The first thing that I want to tell very quickly, just two brief things. First, you all have nets. You all have talents and gifts, unique purpose that God has made you and placed you. Here in Prague, even, if you're here for one day, you still have a purpose. If you're here for a month or a semester, you still have a purpose here, right? The second thing, very quickly, we're going to come back to the nets later. Second, we are the Christ-centered church. We want to be the Christ at the center of the church. When Jesus is in the church, that's when we see miracles. That's when we see the overflow of people coming to the knowledge of who God is, coming to the agreement and just to the decision that I will live my life the way Jesus wants me to. And I want us to be aware that you have a role to play, that you're not the tail, you are the head, meaning that you can do something, that there's something specific in your life. And I don't want you to disqualify yourself because you are a Christian for one day or a few days, or you are too young or too old or something like this. You have a specific role in the kingdom of God, in the capital church, to play. Christ-centered church is a community-reaching church because we understand the heart of God. We see the needs, we reach out, and we want to respond. That's what we agree in as Destiny Locations to be. We agree to be a Christ-centered church to reach our communities around us. Few things that we can learn from this passage, just three simple points. First one, don't waste your time sitting on the shore. So the fishermen were washing their nets, right? Because that's what they do. They tried to catch, they didn't catch anything. They were tired, maybe they were hungry. Then Jesus jumped on the boat, and Jesus was already at that time popular, right? Peter knew him at that time, and it probably was an honor for Peter just to think that, wow, Jesus is using my boat as a pulpit, right? But still, they could have been frustrated, they could have been just walked away, but instead they stayed. And sometimes as Christians, what I mean by this, don't waste your time sitting on the shore. Sometimes as Christians, we can sit and wait for others to do the job that needs to be done, thinking, well, they have enough help and they don't really need my talent. They can be someone better who can do this job instead of me. And that can be the shore of indecision. I don't know what to do, so I'll just wait for someone to come and tell me what to do. I feel maybe, I was struggling a lot with the sense of permission. Do I have a permission to pray for people? Do I have a permission to say something about God, encourage someone? I felt like, well, I'm not a pastor. I'm not, I haven't yet any biblical degree, right? So I felt like there is no permission in my life to speak into people's life. Again, you can think that someone else can do it. Don't disqualify yourself because you think that someone can do the job better. This is a complementing each other, right? You're stronger together. Some of us saying, well, I would rather just lay on the shore, bathe in the sand, and reap the benefits of those who do fish. Some of us are on the shore of fear, asking yourself, what if I fail? What if I'm going to make a fool of myself? What if I just don't speak the language and I'll start speaking the language and then I'll make mistakes? What if I'm not good enough? Some of us have the shore of comfort and laziness. We'd rather stay at home and watch Netflix, binge watch stuff, or saying that's too much for me right now. I just rather spend my time for me than give it to God. Some of us loving the comfort too much. This is something that I fear, because whenever I feel protective of what I have, whenever I feel protective of my comfort and my time, of my things, that's a warning for me that something is not right, that I probably put the priorities in the wrong order, because I don't want to be bothered and I enjoy just thinking about me. And the action here is this: get off the shore and let down your nets. Get down on the shore and let down your nets. If there is a fear, if there is indecision, if you don't know what is it, we will have a prayer team by the end. So we would like to pray with you about this. But guys, you all have a role to play in the church, not just in Destiny Church, but in the capital C Church. The second important point is that you need to let down your nets. Your nets. The emphasis on your, not Donovan's nets or Jessica's nets, not my nets, but what you were created for. This month, we had a ladies group in the beginning of the month, and we were talking, and I just had the urge in my heart to talk about and ask God about, God, who you created me, how you created me, what talents, what gifts you put inside of me. And we were sitting in a small group of women, and we were just encouraging each other. I heard dreams of other people. I heard visions of other people, and people, and this woman who were in the group, they were empowered to go, right? They were encouraged to go after Jesus. If you don't know what your nets are, just two simple questions. What brings you joy? What brings you joy? The second question is, what gives you energy? Because sometimes when you are tired and you don't want to do anything, right? Or just, but you know that this is the thing you're called for. When you do it, it actually brings you energy. It does not suck the energy out of you. What brings you joy and what brings you energy? I think these two questions, if you start with it, Holy Spirit will lead you to what, to this answer, what your nets are. It can be specific. She is an intercessor. She came and started praying. We used to meet for prayer at 10 a.m. Now the prayer team meets at 9 a.m. in the morning, and they're just praying for an hour. She's walking around and praying for each chair. How special it is that you are sitting on the chair right now, and she was praying for you to encounter God. And now she's bringing the box where you could put a prayer request. And we did not ask her, but because this is her calling, she is seeing the need and she's responding. She is taking the ground that this is the gap. I'm going to respond. We don't have Martin and Yana here, but they've been just going and preaching the gospel on a biweekly basis every Wednesday. I think it was just Yana, Martin, and Passy faithfully doing it every other week, because the heart is broken for the lost people. The heart is broken for the nation. Maybe you have a calling of pastoring and shepherding. And I'm not talking about the title. I'm talking about the heart for people. That you just want to get to know someone, to walk with them through this journey of faith. And you don't need a title or a role to validate what you were created for. You don't need someone to call you a shepherd. You don't even need to people that you shepherd to know this about you, right? Because you're just operating in your calling. It's natural for you. We put emphasis on the titles or roles, but it's about what you were created to do. You might have resources, the time to give. You can have the gift of hospitality. We all remember Stefan, like he impacted our community so much. He's coming to visit, by the way. But that's one of my gifts as well. I love inviting people to stay with me. Sometimes I have complete strangers staying in my place for weeks or 3 weeks because they're a friend of a friend of a friend who needed to stay in Prague. One time, I had so many people at my place that I actually had to leave myself. And I was staying with Jessica and Donovan for 2 days. And was I happy about it? No. Was I annoyed that people were not responsible and I needed to leave my own place? Yes. But at the same time, I knew that this is what I'm created for. This is what I'm carrying as a person, that I want to strangers be in my place and having the shelter and having a place to stay, right? And this is one of the things. Your net, you're convicted that you're supposed to do this. This is your cross to carry. It won't be always easy. Sometimes it can be hard, yet still you will do it with gladness and it will bring you joy. So if you don't know what your nets are, you have two practical things to ask yourself. What brings me joy and what gives me energy? And if you're still not sure, come for prayer later. I'm sure Passy and Alexa will be standing here and they will gladly to pray for this and prophesy over you. The third point is that obedience is the prerequisite to overflow. We have to stay faithful to what the Bible is teaching us. In this passage, Peter says, but because you say so, I will let down the net. At your word, I will let down the nets. The only reason why Peter did what Jesus asked was because he believed in Jesus, not because the circumstances seemed right. He believed that Jesus is able. sometimes we don't have the, or more often, we don't have the right circumstances, right? You feel like you need to pray for this person, but he's in a hurry, or there are too many people. But you gotta act upon what God is telling you. And we have to stay faithful to what is written in the Bible. One of the greatest commands in the Bible, it's called the Great Commission. It's Matthew 28:19-20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to very end of the age. The Great Commission, it's not a busy work. And it's not given to you because you don't have anything else better to do. It's an invitation for you to participate in the wedding day, invitation for you to invite Jesus back. It's connected with Matthew 24:14. I'm looking for the verse. Yes, Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. We, as the bride of Christ, we're faithfully waiting for him. But as well as participating in this great commission, we are inviting him back. It's not about doing, but about finishing. It's never a busy work, but it's an invitation for Jesus to come back to his bride. And this is the heart of God, right? In the Revelation, we see that every tribe, every tongue will confess that Jesus is the Lord. And it's our hearts to see him back. It's our hearts to cry out for him to get back here. And this Great Commission is not given to only those people who are on staff at church, or to these people, again, who have some degree in theology. It's good. It's all good things. But sometimes we can disqualify ourselves because of those things. It's not for these people who know the Bible from front to the end. It's not for these people who have on their Facebook name evangelist before the name and last name. It's not about the people who call themselves apostles or prophets. It's call for all. The Bible is filled with calls for action. Bible is filled with the stories of ordinary people like you and me who God called. Some of them, most of them, were even questioning whether they are good enough for that or not. Yet they stepped into it and they became an answer for solution, an answer for their nation. And the world has so many areas where we need to bring the gospel. We need to bring the light. We need to bring the truth of Jesus, because that's what the world needs. A true freedom. I am moved by the stories of people, ordinary people who changed their society, changed their generation, because they came to a realization that something was not the right way. Something was not the way God intended it to do. One of them, I'm reading right now a book about Hannah Moore. She was supporting David Wilberforce in the abolishing of the slavery in Great Britain long, long time ago. George would know, but I don't remember the year of it. But she was an ordinary girl. At that time, education for women was not very available, yet she was pioneering the education for women in the Great Britain. And she was using her pen and paper to change the mind of people, to shape the society that she was living in, to turn people from their sinful desires into looking at Jesus and having a higher calling. She just used pen and paper. Woman who supported the abolishment movement. And there are so many people like this, right? Ordinary people who are seeing the need and saying that I'm not gonna be passive about it, not on my watch. I'm gonna do something about it. So I invite you really to come and pray for what is it, what is heart God is telling you. And I want to put an emphasis on the Spirit, because it said that God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power. We cannot do it out of our own strength. We cannot just sit down and think and create a vision for ourselves. That should be led and breathed by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes God will ask you to do something in one season, and you have to be faithful in this season, and then He will lead you to something else. So you have to be, we all have to be sensitive to what the Spirit is saying. Acts 1:8 saying, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. You receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes in you. Can I ask you to stand, please? I'm gonna pray. And then Jessica will close it. Father, I'm praying for the revelation of your heart for the people and for this world. That your initial thought when you created a human, you just wanted a family. God, I'm praying that you will give us eyes to see the way you see people, the way you see Czech Republic, the way you see Prague. God, break our hearts for what break yours. We want to capture your heart, God. Not because we have to do something, God, but because we love you and we want to fall more in love with you, God, knowing your heart. Jesus, be at the center of our lives and of our church. Be our priority, be our focus. We thank you for the finished work of the cross that does not enslave us, but liberates us of being your children and now doing and inviting you back by fulfilling the Great Commission, by looking into how we can bring your kingdom here. How can we participate with you in this friendship and establish your kingdom once and for all? And Holy Spirit, helper and comforter, I'm praying, come upon us, empower us, lead us, mold us, shape us. Holy Spirit, move through our weaknesses, move through our fears and doubts. We break in the fear in Jesus' name, God. Right now, we're coming into agreement as a church and we're saying that I don't want to be passive. I don't want to live my life through the motions. I don't want to just come one day for the church and warm up the chair, God. I know that you created me for something bigger, God. And I'm open to receive it. Holy Spirit, empower us to see, give us strength to respond, and give us courage. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.